Let's bow together in a word of prayer as we begin our worship time this morning. Our Father, we thank you that we can come before you, knowing that you are a God who hears and answers the cries of our hearts. We thank you for your grace given to us in Christ, grace which has made us your children, and we now can be called rightly the sons of God. We thank you that as your sons, as your children, we have become joint heirs with Christ, and all that is yours is his, and all that is ours. We thank you that you have thus granted to us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we come as the blessed. We come as those who have been granted everything we need in this life and the life to come. And it's out of gratitude that we now offer our thanksgiving and our praise and worship. We ask only that it would be pleasing in your sight. We ask in our Savior's name. Amen. Open your Bible to the Epistle of James. I want to read to you from the first chapter of James, beginning at verse 1. Reading down through verse 17, James chapter 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But let the brother of humble circumstances glory in his high position, and let the rich man glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So, too, the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank you for the confidence of James, confident that the trials of life would produce endurance. Endurance would bring about maturity, completeness. Confident that in the midst of the trials of life, he could ask for wisdom and know that you would give it if he asked in faith. Confident that those who are deprived and are the humble really have everything, and those who are the rich have only perishing things. Confident that someday the one who perseveres under trial would receive the crown of life, and confident that everything that came in life from your hand was a good and perfect gift with holy purpose in mind. We thank you too, Father, that we can live in that confidence that you are a God of goodness. We thank you that we know whatever is good, whatever is to our benefit, both in time and eternity, you desire to bring to us. We thank you that you in speaking and acting in our behalf have sought our good, that every gift that comes from you is a perfect gift. We thank you that we can be confident that you are acting in our behalf to our good in times of peace and in days of trouble. You are acting on our behalf and for our good when we understand and when we don't. We thank you that yours is a bottomless fountain of good, poured out of your love, that we might receive eternal glory. We thank you for the mysterious purposes of your grace and the confidence that you'll give us wisdom to discern them and to rejoice in all things in life. And so, Father, in this confidence, we can accept the circumstances that come our way and accept them joyfully, knowing that they have a perfecting work. And at the same time, we want to recognize that there is something that doesn't come from your hand. It doesn't have a perfecting work. You never bring it to us, and that is sin. You never tempt us, as we have just read. You never lead us into sin. Sin has no positive purpose in our life, and yet it's a constant presence. And we ask that you would forgive us our sins. Thank you for being the source of all good. We praise you that all is ours in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I need to say just a word about my wife and daughter this morning. I'm sure almost all of you, if not all of you, have heard that they had a car accident on Tuesday. And it was a very, very severe accident. I don't know how either of them lived except by the providence of God. The car was basically turned into a pancake, flattened completely. I was able later to see it and was frankly amazed that they survived. That's my daughter, Melinda. Just to give you a little bit of background so you can kind of know what's gone on, they happened to be driving out toward Palmdale, and they were coming to meet me, and my son Matt was following in another car because he had to go a different direction, but they kind of drove along together. And as they were going down the road, they lost control of the car, and it spun across four lanes and catapulted over a curb, kind of a modified curbing, into a huge culvert, which was about 8 feet deep, and the car went in and snows and then flipped over and smashed the roof and then tumbled against the sides of it so that it just kept crushing the car. In the wonderful providence of God, my son Matt happened to be right there, obviously, and he went, and at first he thought Patricia was gone, and somebody was an off-duty paramedic and happened to stop by, and they were trying to find a pulse, and were able to find a pulse eventually, so he said she's alive. And then people have the instant response of wanting to take you out of the car. You know, they think, I guess, because they see it on TV that all cars blow up, and so they want to pull you out, and if you do that, you'll kill a person with a broken neck, and Patricia had a broken neck. So Matt just made sure that no one moved her. While he was trying to help, someone had pulled Melinda out of the car already. Fortunately, she didn't have any broken bones, just a gash in the head, which has been sewn up, and some bruises and cuts and scrapes all over her. But she's fine, and she's not in the hospital now. She's home. But with Patricia, they wanted to be sure that she wasn't touched. And so Matt made sure nobody touched his mom, and eventually they came and put her in the proper kind of apparatus to extract her from the car, which was completely flattened and in a very strange position, pointing straight up, leaning on the top of this 8-foot bank. And so getting her out of there was not an easy thing. And then they put her in the helicopter, she and Melinda and Matt, and flew them to the trauma center and the hospital. And it turned out that she did have a broken neck. She broke cervical 2 and 3. By God's providence, it didn't sever the spinal cord, or she would have died in the car, because at that point you've cut off the nerves that run to the respiratory system, and so she would have shut down the breathing process altogether. The cervical was fractured clear through from top to bottom, but didn't dislocate, and didn't therefore do any severing of the spinal cord, for which we obviously are very thankful. In fact, the second day she was in the hospital, Johnny Erickson Tata came to see her with Ken, and she said, I just must see Patricia. They're good friends. And so she came into the hospital room where Patricia was in the critical care unit, and she brought her a little sparrow, and she reminded Patricia that the Lord's eye is on the sparrow, and he knows every time the sparrow falls. And I reminded her that the Greek word is hop. He knows every time the sparrow hops. And that then she began to sing, and she sang to Patricia in the CCU unit, his eye is on the sparrow. And then she reminded Patricia also that he knows the numbers of the hairs on our head. And if he knows the number of them, he knows how large they are, and that it was about the width of a hair between her being a quadriplegic and having use of her faculties. And so she said, God has been very gracious. And of course, she could live through in her own heart all of the things that Patricia would have gone through had the spinal cord been cut. And so all the way along, our family has rejoiced. She was, as soon as they could stabilize her, they put her in a halo, which is an apparatus, and they put two large screws in the forehead and two large screws back here behind the ears, and they literally suspend the head and the neck in traction. And when they crank that up, they pull the vertebrae in the back, and it sort of pulls into place, and they do x-rays to line that all up. And that's what they did, and it was successful, and she is now in what her little grandson Johnny calls a very funny hat. But her head and neck are completely immobilized, and she will wear this, depending upon the speed with which she heals, anywhere from 2 to 6 months. She's going to have to be basically at home for whatever the duration is. We believe she's a fast healer, and she confessed to me the other morning, she said, I don't think I'll be able to come to church for a very long time. And I said, I'll get you tapes. I can get them at a fair price. And she said, well, I want a tape. I want a tape of every message. So I said, well, I can arrange it. And if you even want, I'll give you a private audience and preach the sermon to you. You might feel a bit convicted with me pointing only at you, however. But so at this point, you know, you don't really know. The doctors don't want to say that there isn't the potential of something further happening, but the only residual effect seems to have been the fact that she can't use her right arm. And her fingers function, and they're at this point unsure why she can't use that right arm, but there's the possibility it could come back into full use, partial use, or no use at all. They're really not sure about that now, but they're putting her through all kinds of tests. And the other day she said, well, all I can say is I hope it comes back, because I want to be able to hold my grandchildren. So there's a true grandmother. And we said, well, we'll arrange some way that you can do that no matter what happens, so don't worry about that. But the Lord in his grace has really drawn our family around her, and it's been a wonderful time for her. Again, we don't know how long she'll be in the hospital. As soon as she's able to stand up and walk, and they get her up. Now, they've done it 2 days in a row and put her on this little walker thing and a strap and get her to just take a few steps so that she begins to feel like, you know, she's able to function with this thing on her head. And they'll attune it every 2 weeks, adjust it and tighten it and stretch the neck and whatever they do. And there's a lot of pain involved in this. And so we're just upholding her, and we're thankful for your prayers. I don't know what else to say, except we thank you so much. The place has got so many flowers that the nurses don't know who this woman is, but they think she must be very important. And we affirm that, of course. We've just had so many flowers. They kid us all the time about hanging a sign outside the door and opening up the shop. to sell flowers to the rest of the people in the hospital, and many, many cards, and we sit and read the cards to her, the kids do, and I do, and the letters. She's very appreciative. She would love to be able to see all of you, but it's best if you don't come to the hospital because the doctors become very frustrated. There was one time when I went to the hospital room and there were 40 people there. And she can't function, they can't function, and we appreciate the outpouring of love. There's so many people in our family alone that crowd in that it would just be best. You'd really help if you don't come to the hospital, but just pray for her and send any card or anything you want to say to the church, and then I'll take it out to her. Melinda is doing fine. She was fairly traumatized because she thought her mother was dead, and because she just was frightened by it all, but she's doing very, very well. This is a wonderful time for her dad to come alongside and minister to her, and I've had a wonderful time doing that. Some people have asked about bringing food to the house, and we have two daughters and a daughter-in-law who have said, you tell people that mom ministered to us all the time, and now it's our turn. And so they've got this thing all planned about how they're going to cook and clean, and it's really a very special time for them to return the love that they've received to mom. So they said, you tell people we're going to take care of that, and if it gets to the point where we can't do it anymore, we'll let you know. But so thank you for offering so many things. And we're very, very grateful. And we're just going to trust the Lord for this. And I can tell you that when I heard the news, when they phoned me and gave me the news, because I wasn't around, that peace that we talked about last Sunday, I experienced. I thought she was dead, that was the news that came to me, was that she was injured critically and that they were airlifting her. So, well, it doesn't take much imagination to figure that must have been something fatal or near fatal. And so I found that even in the sense that filled my heart that she was gone, or if she wasn't gone, she could be maimed for life, that God flooded my own heart with perfect peace because I have total trust in Him, absolute confidence in Him. It's been wonderful to see that confidence too in our children as they are so willing to let the Lord do in their lives and even in the life of their mom what is His purpose to do. At the same time, they're extremely grateful that God does know how wide a hair is, and that in His grace He made sure that whatever happened did not affect her in some way of permanent debilitating paralysis. 95% of all people who have a broken neck have permanent disabling paralysis. So she's in that 5 out of 100 that don't have that. And it can happen three ways: severing the spinal cord, bruising the spinal cord, or constricting the spinal cord from edema or the swelling of fluid. And none of that has happened at this point, and we'll wait and see what happens with the arm, but that would be a minor situation. So we're very grateful, and I just want to thank you for your prayers. And you keep praying for her. We were reminded again yesterday that there is still the possibility of paralysis. They don't want to say there isn't. And on the other hand, there's no possibility that the spinal cord will be further injured because it's totally stabilized. And she has this thing on with rods everywhere, and it's quite a thing. And it's, I've been married to her nearly 30 years, and she's always served me. And so I said to her, this is my time to serve you. And I think she looked at me a bit incredulous, like, I appreciate the sentiment, yes. But not fully trusting that what I said I would do. So I'll prove my point. I'm going to take the next couple of weeks just to be with her. I was supposed to be preaching in Eastern Canada, but I canceled that. And I canceled everything just to be with her. So that's going to be my wonderful task for the next 2 weeks. We don't know when she'll come home, but when she comes home, she'll have some real needs. And so I want to be there to take care of her. It's been a spiritually uplifting experience. As we've said so many times in preaching, all of this drives you to the Lord, doesn't it? Because you come to the end of your human resources, and It's in drawing nigh unto him and having him draw nigh unto you that the richness of that relationship is enjoyed. And so from a spiritual standpoint, this would be a high point for the life of our little family. And we just thank you so much for your prayers. Father, we thank you so much for the way in which you guard the lives of your children. Thank you for physical grace and mercy. We know that you're a God who cares about our physical needs, and I thank you personally for your care over Patricia and Melinda. Thank you that your hand of kindness and mercy was upon them. Thank you, Lord, for the way in which you spared their lives, knowing that their work was not done, that they're needed by me and by family and friends and by the family of God, and that your purpose for them stands, that they should remain in this life and that they should serve you here and exalt Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the way in which you have drawn our family around them, and thank you for the salvation which we all enjoy and mutually share. And I pray for Patricia's continued improvement and health, and that you would raise her up, Lord, in such a way that she can serve you. I just commit her to you. Thank you for the confidence we have that she is in your care. May she be a testimony and a blessing to all who attend her, and may Christ be glorified in all of this. And Lord, we thank you for the church, the family here, who stands together with us in all the issues of life, and thank you for their prayers and their kindness and their love and thoughtfulness. And I pray, Lord, for them, that they might know your blessing in their own lives in response to their kindness toward us. In Christ's name, amen. Let's bow together in a word of prayer as we begin our worship time this morning. Our Father, we thank you that we can come before you knowing that you are a God who hears and answers the cries of our hearts. We thank you for your grace given to us in Christ, grace which has made us your children, and we now can be called rightly the sons of God. We thank you that as your sons, as your children, we have become joint heirs with Christ, and all that is yours is his, and all that is his is ours. We thank you that you have thus granted to us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we come as the blessed. We come as those who have been granted everything we need in this life and the life to come. And it's out of gratitude that we now offer our thanksgiving and our praise and worship. We ask only that it would be pleasing in your sight. We ask in our Savior's name. Amen. Open your Bible to the Epistle of James. I want to read to you from the first chapter of James, beginning at verse 1. Reading down through verse 17, James chapter 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But let the brother of humble circumstances glory in his high position, and let the rich man glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So, too, the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank you for the confidence of James, confident that the trials of life would produce endurance. Endurance would bring about maturity, completeness. Confident that in the midst of the trials of life, he could ask for wisdom and know that you would give it if he asked in faith. Confident that those who are deprived and are the humble really have everything, and those who are the rich have only perishing things. Confident that someday the one who perseveres under trial would receive the crown of life, and confident that everything that came in life from your hand was a good and perfect gift with holy purpose in mind. We thank you too, Father, that we can live in that confidence that you are a God of goodness. We thank you that we know whatever is good, whatever is to our benefit, both in time and eternity, you desire to bring to us. We thank you that you, in speaking and acting in our behalf, have sought our good, that every gift that comes from you is a perfect gift. We thank you that we can be confident that you are acting in our behalf to our good in times of peace and in days of trouble. You are acting on our behalf and for our good when we understand and when we don't. We thank you that yours is a bottomless fountain of good, poured out of your love, that we might receive eternal glory. We thank you for the mysterious purposes of your grace, and the confidence that you'll give us wisdom to discern them and to rejoice in all things in life. And so, Father, in this confidence, we can accept the circumstances that come our way and accept them joyfully, knowing that they have a perfecting work. And at the same time, we want to recognize that there is something that doesn't come from your hand. It doesn't have a perfecting work. You never bring it to us, and that is sin. You never tempt us, as we have just read. You never lead us into sin. Sin has no positive purpose in our life, and yet it's a constant presence. And we ask that you would forgive us our sins. Thank you for being the source of all good. We praise you that all is ours in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I need to say just a word about my wife and daughter this morning. I'm sure almost all of you, if not all of you, have heard that they had a car accident on Tuesday, and it was a very, very severe accident. I don't know how either of them lived except by the providence of God. The car was basically turned into a pancake, flattened completely. I was able later to see it and was frankly amazed that they survived. That's my daughter, Melinda. Just to give you a little bit of background so you can kind of know what's gone on, they happened to be driving out toward Palmdale, and they were coming to meet me, and my son Matt was following in another car because he had to go a different direction, but they kind of drove along together. And as they were going down the road, they lost control of the car, and it spun across four lanes and catapulted
over a curb, kind of a modified curbing, into a huge culvert, which was about 8 feet deep, and the car went in snows and then flipped over and smashed the roof and then tumbled against the sides of it so that it just kept crushing the car. In the wonderful providence of God, my son Matt happened to be right there, obviously, and he went, and at first he thought Patricia was gone, and somebody was an off-duty paramedic and happened to stop by, and they were trying to find a pulse, and were able to find a pulse eventually, so he said she's alive. And then people have the instant response of wanting to take you out of the car. You know, they think, I guess, because they see it on TV that all cars blow up. And so they want to pull you out, and if you do that, you'll kill a person with a broken neck, and Patricia had a broken neck. So Matt just made sure that no one moved her. While he was trying to help, someone had pulled Melinda out of the car already. Fortunately, she didn't have any broken bones, just a gash in the head, which has been sewn up, and some bruises and cuts and scrapes all over her. But she's fine, and she's not in the hospital now. She's home. But with Patricia, they wanted to be sure that she wasn't touched. And so Matt made sure nobody touched his mom. And eventually they came and put her in the proper kind of apparatus to extract her from the car, which was completely flattened and in a very strange position, pointing straight up, leaning on the top of this 8-foot bank. And so getting her out of there was not an easy thing. And then they put her in a helicopter, she and Melinda and Matt, and flew them to the trauma center and the hospital. And it turned out that she did have a broken neck. She broke cervical 2 and 3. By God's providence, it didn't sever the spinal cord, or she would have died in the car, because at that point, you've cut off the nerves that run to the respiratory system, and so she would have shut down the breathing process altogether. The cervical was fractured clear through from top to bottom, but didn't dislocate. And didn't therefore do any severing of the spinal cord, for which we obviously are very thankful. In fact, the second day she was in the hospital, Johnny Erickson, Tata, came to see her with Ken, and she said, I just must see Patricia. They're good friends. And so she came into the hospital room where Patricia was in the critical care unit, and she brought her a little sparrow, and she reminded Patricia that the Lord's eye is on the sparrow, and he knows every time the sparrow falls. And I reminded her that the Greek word is hops. He knows every time the sparrow hops. And that then she began to sing, and she sang to Patricia in the CCU unit, "His eye is on the sparrow." And then she reminded Patricia also that he knows the numbers of the hairs on our head. And if he knows the number of them, he knows how large they are, and that it was about the width of a hair between her being a quadriplegic and having use of her faculties. And so she said, God has been very gracious. And of course, she could live through in her own heart all of the things that Patricia would have gone through had the spinal cord been cut. And so all the way along, our family has rejoiced. She was, as soon as they could stabilize her, they put her in a halo, which is an apparatus, and they put two large screws in the forehead and two large screws back here behind the ears, and they literally suspend the head and the neck in traction, and when they crank that up, they pull the vertebrae in the back, and it sort of pulls into place, and they do x-rays to line that all up, and that's what they did, and it was successful, and she is now in what her little grandson Johnny calls a very funny hat. But her head and neck are completely immobilized, and she will wear this, depending upon the speed with which she heals, anywhere from 2 to 6 months. She's going to have to be basically at home for whatever the duration is. We believe she's a fast healer, and she confessed to me the other morning, she said, I don't think I'll be able to come to church for a very long time. And I said, I'll get you tapes. I can get them at a fair price. And she said, well, I want a tape. I want a tape of every message. So I said, well, I can arrange it. And if you even want, I'll give you a private audience and preach the sermon to you. You might feel a bit convicted with me pointing only at you, however. But so at this point, you know, you don't really know. The doctors don't want to say that there isn't the potential of something further happening, but the only residual effect seems to have been the fact that she can't use her right arm. And her fingers function, and they're at this point unsure why she can't use that right arm, but there's the possibility it could come back into full use, partial use, or no use at all. They're really not sure about that now, but they're putting her through all kinds of tests. And the other day she said, well, all I can say is I hope it comes back because I want to be able to hold my grandchildren. So there's a true grandmother, and we said, well, we'll arrange some way that you can do that no matter what happens, so don't worry about that. But the Lord in His grace has really drawn our family around her, and it's been a wonderful time for her. Again, we don't know how long she'll be in the hospital. As soon as she's able to stand up and walk, and they get her up. Now, they've done it 2 days in a row and put her on this little walker thing and a strap and get her to just take a few steps so that she begins to feel like, you know, she's able to function with this thing in her head. And they'll attune it every 2 weeks, adjust it and tighten it and stretch the neck and whatever they do. And it's a lot of pain involved in this. And so we're just upholding her, and we're thankful for your prayers. I don't know what else to say except we thank you so much. The place has got so many flowers that the nurses don't know who this woman is, but they think she must be very important. And we affirm that, of course. We've just had so many flowers. They kid us all the time about hanging a sign outside the door and opening up a shop to sell flowers to the rest of the people in the hospital. And many, many cards, and we sit and read the cards to her. The kids do, and I do, and the letters. She's very appreciative. She would love to be able to see all of you, but it's best if you don't come to the hospital because the doctors become very frustrated. There was one time when I went to the hospital room and there were 40 people there, and she can't function, they can't function, and we appreciate the outpouring of love. There's so many people in our family alone that the crowd in, that it would just be best. You'd really help if you don't come to the hospital, but just pray for her and send any card or anything you want to say to the church, and then I'll take it out to her. Melinda is doing fine. She was fairly traumatized because she thought her mother was dead, and because she just was frightened by it all. But she's doing very, very well. This is a wonderful time for her dad to come alongside and minister to her, and I've had a wonderful time doing that. Some people have asked about bringing food to the house, and we have two daughters and a daughter-in-law who have said, "You tell people that mom ministered to us all the time, and now it's our turn." And so they've got this thing all planned about how they're going to cook and clean, and it's really a very special time for them to return the love that they've received to mom. So they said, "You tell people we're going to take care of that, and if it gets to the point where we can't do it anymore, we'll let you know." But so thank you for offering so many things. And we're very, very grateful. And we're just going to trust the Lord for this. And I can tell you that when I heard the news, when they phoned me and gave me the news, because I wasn't around, that peace that we talked about last Sunday, I experienced. I thought she was dead. That was the news that came to me, was that she was injured critically and that they were airlifting her. That, well, it doesn't take much imagination to figure that that must have been something fatal or near fatal. And So I found that even in the sense that filled my heart that she was gone, or if she wasn't gone, she could be maimed for life, that God flooded my own heart with perfect peace because I have total trust in Him, absolute confidence in Him. It's been wonderful to see that confidence, too, in our children as they are so willing to let the Lord do in their lives and even in the life of their mom what is His purpose to do. At the same time, they're extremely grateful that God does know how wide a hair is, and that in His grace, He made sure that whatever happened did not affect her in some way of permanent debilitating paralysis. 95% of all people who have a broken neck have permanent disabling paralysis. So she's in that 5 out of 100 that don't have that. And it can happen three ways: severing the spinal cord, bruising the spinal cord, or constricting the spinal cord from edema or the swelling of fluid. And none of that has happened at this point, and we'll wait and see what happens with the arm, but that would be a minor situation. So we're very grateful, and I just want to thank you for your prayers. And you keep praying for her. We were reminded again yesterday that there is still the possibility of paralysis. They don't want to say there isn't. And on the other hand, there's no possibility that the spinal cord will be further injured because it's totally stabilized. And she has this thing on with rods everywhere, and it's quite a thing. And it's, I've been married to her nearly 30 years, and she's always served me. And so I said to her, this is my time to serve you. And I think she looked at me a bit incredulous, like, I appreciate the sentiment, yes. But not fully trusting that what I said I would do. So I'll prove my point. I'm going to take the next couple of weeks just to be with her. I was supposed to be preaching in Eastern Canada, but I canceled that. And I canceled everything just to be with her. So that's going to be my wonderful task for the next few weeks. We don't know when she'll come home, but when she comes home, she'll have some real needs. And so I want to be there to take care of her. It's been a spiritually uplifting experience. As we've said so many times in preaching, all of this drives you to the Lord, doesn't it? Because you come to the end of your human resources, and it's in drawing nigh unto Him and having Him draw nigh unto you that the richness of that relationship is enjoyed. And so from a spiritual standpoint, this would be a high point for the life of our little family, and we just thank you so much for your prayers. Father, we thank you so much for the way in which you guard the lives of your children. Thank you for physical grace and mercy. We know that you're a God who cares about our physical needs, and I thank you personally for your care over Patricia and Melinda. Thank you that your hand of kindness and mercy was upon them. And thank you, Lord, for the way in which you spared their lives, knowing that their work was not done, that they're needed by me and by family and friends and by the family of God, and that your purpose for them stands, that they should remain in this life and that they should serve you here and exalt Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the way in which you have drawn our family around them, and thank you for the salvation which we all enjoy and mutually share. And I pray for Patricia's continued improvement and health, and that you would raise her up, Lord, in such a way that she can serve you. I just commit her to you. Thank you for the confidence we have that she is in your care. May she be a testimony and a blessing to all who attend her, and may Christ be glorified in all of this. And Lord, we thank you for the church, the family here, who stands together with us in all the issues of life. And thank you for their prayers and their kindness and their love and thoughtfulness. And I pray, Lord, for them, that they might know your blessing in their own lives in response to their kindness toward us. In Christ's name, amen.